this anyway, just for kicks. Sam.
Welcome to season one, episode six of the Tales from the Air podcast. I am your host, Rob Johnson, and that was the one and only Dwight Yoakam. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. Be sure to like and subscribe, and I want to thank everyone who's tuned in thus far on this journey through season one. So today's episode is the final show of season one. I will be taking the month of April off, and we'll be coming back with the season two premiere on May 1st. So we're kind of like Survivor. In no time at all, we'll be at season 20, and it'll only feel like no time has passed at all. So lots going on this weekend. This podcast is being recorded on the 16th, a day late. Busy weekend. We dealt with some weather on Friday, which took me out of a little planning time. We lost power for about 7 hours or so here at our place. I know people around the country have been dealing with all kinds of issues as it relates to the weather, and hope everyone is safe. So this episode is going to be just a little bit different. I don't know why I say that every time, because this is so new. It's the podcast is what it is. But I told you at the last episode that I was going to kind of talk about some industry-related stuff. I do want to update you on some of the crash investigations and some of the incidents that have happened recently with some of the airlines. I'm going to also touch on a little bit today, thinking about maximizing your points. A lot of airlines are changing those points and how you earn them and redeem them and all that. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And then, yes, we are going to dig into probably the biggest industry story this week or since the last podcast, the announcement by Southwest that has sent loyalists just screaming that bags will no longer fly free beginning May 28th, I believe, is the date. So we'll dig into a little bit of that. And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about, we'll tease a little bit of what's coming up in season two. So let's get right to it. A couple housekeeping notes right out of the gate. Formula One had their first race this weekend in Australia. That was fun to watch. With the time change, it was a little goofy, but enjoyed watching that. Congratulations to Lando Norris for his first win of the year for the first race. Part of that race was in the rain, so it was fun to watch. And congratulations again to Lando Norris from McLaren, who won. Baseball's going on. You know, spring training's going to start winding down. The regular season officially kicks off next week with the Dodgers and Cubs over in Japan. So excited for that. That'll be, I think, Tuesday and Wednesday morning here in the U.S. I believe a 5 o'clock start time for us in the Central Time Zone. But this isn't a sports show, so we're not going to dive deep into that. But I wanted to just kind of point those couple things out. Oh, and basketball. Can't forget about basketball. We got the big tournament coming up next weekend, which will be exciting. And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of office pools and whatnot being started. Selection Sunday is today at 5 Central, 6 Eastern. So start to see where the brackets line up. So anyway, let's get to it. Quick update. the National Transportation Safety Board put out their initial report based on flight 5342. That's the American Airlines flight that collided with the Black Hawk helicopter over the Potomac back in late January. There's a 20-page report, that initial report that can be accessed on the NTSB website. Probably the highlight there is the National Transportation Safety Board made recommendations. Probably the largest was prohibiting, they recommended the prohibiting operations on helicopter Route 4. If you think back to the episode when I talked about that crash, helicopter Route 4 is the one that runs along the Potomac on the kind of hugs DC and then Maryland as it comes down the Potomac. So that far eastern side of the Potomac. But at any rate, prohibiting operations on helicopter Route 4 when runway 15-33 is in use. Now, keep things in perspective. That runway accounts for 5% of departures and 4% of arrivals at Reagan National. So my guess is that we're going to see those numbers drop, and there'll be more communication between those helicopter pilots and all that. There'll just be some additional checkpoints in there. So, as I mentioned during that episode, the National Transportation Safety Board goes to great lengths to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed in their investigation. Their job is not to, disparage or whatnot folks that are, perhaps guilty of something. That's not their job, is solely to point out the facts. And this investigation, obviously, due to its, nature of the fact that it's first time that passengers have died in a crash in many years, and the fact that it was so close to Washington and just the whole makeup of it, has been very top of mind and has captured a lot of media attention. So they've really made sure that this one, not all of their investigations are thorough, but this one has had more sets of eyes on it, given the nature of all the components. So anyway, moving on, Delta Flight 4819, that flight that originated in Minneapolis and landed in Toronto at Pearson International Airport. That was on February 17th. And that investigation is being run by the counterparts of the NTSB in Canada. Initial investigations have pointed that the landing, hard landing that hit the ground, caused the tail and the wing to be damaged, and the plane came to rest upside down. Now, no deaths from that incident, which is great news, the best news. There were multiple injuries. You had folks that were essentially suspended upside down, and when they released their seatbelt, there were some injuries that occurred there. And I believe there were also some injuries with people getting off the plane as well. So, but again, most importantly, no deaths. But that investigation is ongoing. And if you recall, too, conditions were very, very windy at the time, which I think the investigation is looking to see if that was a factor with the landing, with compensation and all that, with the landing and cause that hard landing that it resulted in the damage to the aircraft. So, kind of moving away from the crash piece, there was a close call in Chicago at Midway Airport. That was a Southwest flight 2504 coming in from Omaha to Chicago Midway. Hats off to the pilot of that Southwest flight who was very observant and was able to abort that landing and swing back around. It was had it not done that, it would have collided, most likely collided with a Flexjet private plane. And by listening to air traffic control, that Flexjet pilot either didn't hear or ignored air traffic control on its instructions. And again, hats off to the Southwest Airlines pilot and co-pilot that took that evasive action and were able to swing back around and obviously avoid an incident. And then just last week, there was an American Airlines jet that was departed out of Colorado Springs en route to Dallas-Fort Worth, had to make an emergency landing in Denver. And when that plane taxied to the gate, its engine caught on fire, and everyone had to be taken off the plane. And pictures of folks out on the wing of the plane, and it was a mess. The last report I saw, 12 people were taken to the hospital. That obviously is relatively new, and that is under investigation. So, a lot of incidents. I'm hoping in future podcasts, I don't talk of any incidents involving air travel. It'd be nice if I could just get right into the subject matter and not have to deal with that. But I think it's important to update folks on what's going on and make them aware. Again, as I stated in the episode surrounding the crash in Washington, still the safest mode of transportation versus driving and all that. Even though, yes, there's been some incidents and some close calls, still the safest mode of transportation. And I don't hesitate when I need to get on a plane, whether for business or personal travel. So be mindful of that, but you have to stay within your comfort levels as well, and I understand that. So let's move into a little bit of a brighter subject. I want to talk about how you can leverage your points, and we did an episode very early on talking about shopping for that ticket and looking for deals and things of that nature. I want to talk about how you can also get free flights and really just leverage what programs are out there and what that looks like, but also things you want to be a bit cautious of and consider as you're making those decisions. It's not always as cut and dry as the marketing makes it out to be. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So I guess we'll get started with the first thing you want to look at is where you are leaving from. What's your home airport? If your home airport is smaller and you really have one airline that services that airport primarily, there may be two or three, but one that is predominant, that's probably where you want to lock in and try to build some status. Now, if you're traveling once a year, if you're getting on a plane every other year, folks, this is not for you. This is not what I'm talking about. I don't think you should go out and try to spend a lot of time figuring out how you capture points and things of that nature. If you're not flying all that often, you're better off to save for that trip, put a little bit more money aside to get a upgraded seat, or even buy a first class ticket if that's something you want to do to have that experience. But, you know, trying to play the game with the points and all that, if you're flying once a year or every other year, quite frankly, is a little bit of a waste of time. And I think you can apply different programs to maybe what we're talking about here, and not look at the airlines. So you really want to look at how much you're flying. The other piece to that too, from that standpoint, is you want to look at the fine print on these credit cards that offer miles and you know, different things, because what you may discover is they have a very high annual fee. They may have some fine print in there that you need to spend so much per month or quarter or annually or what have you. So you really want to make sure you stay on top of that, because you do not want to find yourself in a situation where, hey, great, I'm collecting these airline miles, but I'm paying a, you know, $400 annual fee, and I have, you know, all these restrictions. Again, you'd be better off to save the money and buy a ticket, whether, treat yourself to an upgraded seat or whatever you want to do. You're still going to be money ahead. Now, I have a friend, a good friend, who thinks credit cards are some of the worst thing that's ever happened to society. And this gentleman's in the financial services world. Great guy, smart, very smart. But leveraging a credit card is something that he's not interested in doing. And I want to be very clear, I'm not suggesting you should leverage a credit card. It has to make sense for you. So let's talk through a few basics on that. Again, I'm not Dave Ramsey. I don't look like Dave Ramsey. I'm not trained like Dave Ramsey, so I want to be clear about that. But when you look at a credit card, you want to make sure that it is a program that is in your benefit. And what I mean by that is you want a very small or next to nothing annual fee. You want to make sure that the interest rate is either a period of time where there's no interest or it's a reasonable period of interest. But most importantly, what I would recommend is you carry no balance from month to month. You pay that card in full every month. If you or you and your significant other have decided you're going to get a credit card, you're going to capture miles on a specific airline, and the annual fee is not egregious, then have a plan. Make sure you're paying that card off every single month, because the interest that will build up will absolutely dwarf any benefit you're getting for free miles. And all of a sudden, your plan to get a free ticket is right out the window, because you're spending hundreds of dollars potentially every month in interest. Do not do that. I repeat, do not do that. Now, let's talk about a person who is in the absolute perfect position. If you're a person who travels for business, and your company allows you to use a personal credit card for business expenses, and even better, if your company allows you to book your ticket, well, all of a sudden, you're double dipping. You are buying your airline ticket with that credit card of the, you know, the airline-specific credit card. You are purchasing meals and whatnot with that credit card for business. and you're being reimbursed in a timely fashion. So when that check shows up, or the, you know, shows up in your bank, however it does, hopefully at this stage it's through an ACH and you're not getting a paper check, but you could. You pay that credit card company immediately. You don't float it. You don't, oh, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to go buy some furniture with this. No, you pay off the card. If you can get into that cadence where you're paying off the card every single month and you're using it for business and you're racking up business expenses, you're going to start racking up trips faster and faster. I will tell you, when I was traveling a lot for business, this has been years ago, the only thing I couldn't do is book travel on my credit card, but I could do everything else. I was getting more points and racking up, you know, I was traveling quite a bit too. So between the credit card miles and the actual frequent flyer miles from traveling, they were adding up very quickly. So something you should look at, something you should take advantage of if it makes sense. But again, if you do that, pay off the credit card every month. Do not carry a balance. Because the credit card companies, they'll get you, and they'll get you every single time. So they're not in this for goodwill. They're wanting to make money. So make sure you position yourself in a good way. And if you're traveling for business, make sure you're doing that. And if it's not airline miles, maybe you have a card with one of the major hotels, and that's what you do. And so you're paying for the hotel with that hotel branded credit card. And oftentimes you can double dip with that. So the miles start to add up and add up and add up. Now, what I will tell you, especially with the airlines, they are changing these programs to where only their top elite flyers are getting the best benefits. If you have just your run-of-the-mill program through Southwest or what have you, they're reducing the points you're getting, and it makes it tougher, especially if you're not traveling a lot, to earn those extra miles. So you really want to do an evaluation on what makes sense for you. So enough about that. Glad to, if you want to ask questions, I didn't mention it at the top, but if you want to reach out to me at talesfromtheair@gmail.com, be glad to answer any questions. But if you want to dig deeper into this whole points thing, whether it be hotel or airline or what have you, glad to have that conversation with you. So I have saved the most sensitive and crazy subject for last, and that subject is Southwest Airlines. This last week, much to the chagrin of, well, everyone, changed their policy on bags flying free. If you are younger and if you don't follow the travel industry all that much, this won't mean as much to you, but to those of us who grew up in our early years of traveling for business with the marketing mantra from Southwest of bags fly free, they built campaigns around it, making fun of other airlines, really bringing in a lot of business, saying we don't charge for bags, where some airlines, you could be looking at charges that $25, $30 for the first bag, $35, $40 for the second bag, for each, you know, each, or for one way, so not round trip. So you're looking potentially $60, $65, $70. So you're $140 for your bags, round trip. Well, you look at that from the standpoint of the airline ticket, and it was a no-brainer that many people, a lot of people, didn't even shop for other airlines. They immediately went to Southwest, booked their ticket, and off they went. Now, Southwest has made a number of changes. I've made a post on this, not through my Tales from the Air account. I probably should have, but I didn't. I did it through my personal account on both LinkedIn and Facebook, and talked about so many changes have happened since this hedge fund now has 5 board seats on Southwest. They've made significant changes that, in my opinion, are not in the best interest of the consumer, of the passengers. They are in the best interest short-term of the stockholders. I also believe long-term, it's not going to be in the best interest of the stockholders. I think that Southwest is going to see a decline in traffic. I think there's going to be a number of people who make the decision to shop and go with other airlines simply because right now, once all these changes take effect, and I'm talking about bags not flying free, I'm talking about charging for 3 different tiers of seating, I'm talking about those components, people are starting to say, well, what's the difference between Southwest and every other airline? Before I was loyal, before I didn't even shop, I just went to southwest.com and booked. And now people are saying, why shouldn't I shop? Why shouldn't I look elsewhere? And so that's what you're going to start to see. So I think traffic is going to start dropping on Southwest once. And the biggest change, again, comes at the end of May when bags will no longer be flying free. So people will be factoring that in to their overall ticket price. Now, if you don't check a bag, if you're getting on with the carry-on and you're on your way, not a big deal. Not much is going to change for you from that perspective until the tiers of cabin options changes with the extra legroom seat, the preferred seat, and the standard seat. And I believe that you'll start reserving those towards the end of 25, and those will be taking effect in 2026. But at any rate, I point all that out to say, short of there's a number of destinations that are nonstop, especially out of my airport, Kansas City, on Southwest, short of that distinction, there isn't one now between Southwest and the other airlines. Whereas before, Southwest they were different. And a lot of people liked that. Some people didn't. I personally did. And I know a lot of others that did as well. I can't tell you the number of interviews I saw this week on local news stations around the country, people on Facebook, LinkedIn, different social media platforms, where people had the overarching and overriding consistent theme of, I was loyal and now I will not be. And I'm telling you, if I'm sitting in Dallas, Texas, as an executive with Southwest, that's going to scare me a little bit. And I have to hope that it's just a fever pitch. People are upset right now, but it's going to die down. I don't think it's going to. I think that when people start taking those vacations this summer, and before you had a family of 4 traveling, and each person had 2 bags each, all of a sudden now, those 8 bags each way are going to have a price tag associated with it. People are going to start thinking twice, and they're going to start thinking twice about how they pack. People are going to start thinking about trying to get more into a suitcase that they can carry on. I'll tell you, I've seen it on Facebook Reels. I've seen it on TikTok. There's bags out there that are essentially glorified backpacks that are vacuum sealed where you can fit a bunch of clothes in and then suck all the air out, condense it down. You're going to start seeing more and more of those types of bags because people are going to be fed up with paying these fees. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I will tell you personally, I'm disappointed. I will tell you that it was a phenomenal marketing campaign by Southwest for many years. And yeah, for a while, I was in that category of people who did not shop for other airlines. I was loyal to Southwest. Now, there for a while, I was flying to the Southeast quite a bit, and I was flying Delta for a while. I bounced between Southwest and Delta. But, you know, with Southwest, with this new program, or their new policies, so you're paying for bags, you're paying for your multiple cabins, you don't have a club, you don't have a lounge. So you're really, when you look at the breakdown from a service perspective, you have to say that Southwest drops below Delta and American and United from that perspective. Again, the only distinction is that Southwest has a lot of nonstops. And that's not for every airport. I'm saying for Kansas City, there are 30 direct flights I can take out of Kansas City. And you know what? That does factor in for me. We've talked about that before. So I will look at that, but I'm sure going to shop as well. And it's not always a guarantee Southwest is who I'm going to pick. That is for sure. So be curious to hear your thoughts on that. Again, talesfromtheair@gmail.com. Would love to hear your take on that. So let's wrap this up with talking about season two. Season two will begin on May 1st. So we'll be taking a little hiatus. And excited about season two because it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to have two episodes where I interview guests. Really excited about that. The first episode, when we come back on May 1st, barring something that may take precedence, but I'll have an interview with my great aunt in Arizona. Excited to have her perspective. And the reason I'm interviewing her is she turns 101 this year and has all kinds of travel experiences from traveling by private plane, traveling to Europe, traveling by car, to Mexico City. I mean, just all kinds of great stories. And I think people will want to hear from her. So my wife, Lisa, is going to join me on that interview. So you'll hear her for the first time. And so excited for that. And then another episode, I'll be talking to one of my best friends who, I don't know if you can call her a professional cruiser, but pretty close. She's taken a lot of cruises. I never have taken a cruise. We were going to take one around COVID time, and that ended up not happening, obviously, because of COVID. And so we'd like to do one, but we just haven't booked it yet and put that together. But so we'll hear from her and get her thoughts on best practices and some great stories and things to watch out for and some of her favorite destinations and all that. So that'll be a great episode as well. So, well, folks, I'm going to call it here. This has been great. I can't thank you enough for joining today and tuning in. Sorry I'm a day late, but as I mentioned before, life kind of got in the way there and couldn't get this out yesterday, but it's out today. So enjoy the month off and we'll see you back here on May 1st. And as we do every episode, we'll have Mr. Dwight Yoakam take us away. Dwight,